ladies and gentlemen, tonight, the reigning, defending, undisputed, universal heavyweight champion,
Wildcat Radio 2.0. Bear down, you beautiful people.
What's up, everybody? This is Wildcat Radio 2.0. I'm Adam Green. He's Brett Barry. And, the Wildcats not only had a chance to win, they probably should have beaten Washington last week. They fell 21-16 in a game that they were up 13-0, 16-7, and they did enough to lose to Washington. They're now 0-7. The losing streak is at 19 straight, and it seems like here we go again.
Yeah, I rewatched the game after being there in person. I'm of two minds about it, because it's frustrating to find ways, new and creative ways to lose when a game they could have, should have, maybe even won. But I actually saw things, and maybe I'm the contrarian here, because I know there was some criticism of Jed Fish and play calling. I actually, you know, somewhat hot take, I think this was the best game plan they've had in any game this season, maybe, because it was very stripped down basics, lots of power running, using Jamari Joyner effectively, trying to minimize opportunities for screw-ups on offense. Didn't mean we couldn't make it happen, but...
that's talent.
You know, there. I rewatched that interception play like five times and watched a few things develop to try to see like how the hell did that happen. And I have some thoughts, but
yeah,
you know, I think it showed. I don't think the team has given up at all, which I think is a really positive thing. I don't know how many more close losses they can take until they give up. That's my big concern. You know, they walked out in the Believe shirts to the Wildcat walk, and we're pretty well into Ted Lasso season one, that at some point we got to win a game, right? Or are we just going to get relegated to non-power five at the end of this season?
Yeah, well, based on what happened against NAU, that may not help anyway. I agree with you. Like, I watched that game, and we know it's the backdrop to this entire season, right? Like, we know Arizona does not have a lot of talent, and it's especially true at the quarterback position now. No Jordan McLeod, no Gunnar Cruz. Will Plummer, the guy plays hard, but he is what he is. And Arizona went into that game and developed an offense that found a way to minimize the chances for screwing up at the quarterback position. Now, they were able to run the ball, which you had to know Washington knew that, too. They were going to try to run, and Arizona did it. So credit to the offensive line. Credit to Stevie Rocker, to Jalen John for finding a way. Credit to even Will Plummer. He managed the game very well. He didn't throw for hardly any yards in this game. Even when things were going well, it wasn't because Will Plummer was doing anything other than the occasional short third down conversion. He ran the ball a few times. He was playing within himself, not trying to do too much, and the coaching staff was not asking him to do too much, and his teammates were not forcing him to have to do too much. Arizona was doing a lot of things well. The defense was playing well. They gave a couple of long pass plays. Even the game, it all fell apart after the interception, and then Washington reeled off 14 straight points after that. Arizona couldn't move the ball, and that was that. But the defense played pretty well most of the game. It gave up a few plays. I go back. We talked after the game, Brett, too. Arizona's defense was spotted a lead, and then the fourth quarter, they just couldn't stop anything, which was sad. It was disappointing because they had played so well through most of that game. And like, we could talk about, there was a lot of criticism about that play call. We can start there, because it's hard to just go on to things that Arizona did well in a game that they lost. I don't want to be that guy, that podcast. But that play call, Jed Fish even said that he thought it was the safest play they could run. You know, it's a screen pass, and you don't expect a screen pass to be intercepted, even though Arizona did have a screen pass intercepted against Oregon, albeit for a different reason. I watch it. I was not upset with the play call, because I look and say, what's the worst that can happen? Probably that ball gets incomplete. It's thrown into the dirt, whatever. And then you look at it. If it's completed, there's like four blockers out in front for two or three Washington players. And if it works, say that screen pass happens, it's completed, they're at the 29, right? He picks up 15, 20, maybe even takes it to the house. It's what a great play call to put this one away. But because it didn't work, it's why the hell are you throwing the ball? Just keep running. And neither side is, I don't know. Like, I did not have a problem with the play call. The execution was very, very poor. I didn't have a problem with the play call itself.
Yeah, it was one of those plays when I rewatched it, and I saw a couple of these during the game, and one of them we talked about right after with the blocked punt. We can maybe touch on that in a second, where it's just like the little things you do to increase your likelihood of winning. One of those things on that play, I think it was freshman Anthony Simpson running in motion on that play. Mm-hmm. And the reason why Will Plummer went, like, he was rushed to throw that is because there's a blitz coming from the outside, and Anthony Simpson kind of did a half, you know, doing the old fly sweep motion and just watched the blitzer run by him instead of like trying to even chip him at all. And I'm convinced after watching it about 10 times that if you do that, Will Plummer's, the worst case scenario is he throws the ball incomplete.
Yeah.
Because he had a guy on him like that. Right. And you know, it's one of those things where it's like Anthony Simpson's like a, you know, an athletic talented freshman, probably excited about being on the field and trying to sell whatever kind of fly sweep, you know, motion he's doing. But like, a more experienced guy knows there that you just need to even obstruct the guy that's blitzing there, well, right?
The experience goes for the quarterback, too. A more experienced quarterback knows, throw that ball into the dirt, it's not there. And well, Shedfish said that, and that's just, this is not an experienced team. They're going to make those mistakes, and these are crippling mistakes.
Yeah, and that's I think the saddest thing, especially rewatching it, they were marching down the field mm-hmm. again, and, it, you know, we haven't seen that with a non-Jordan McLeod-led offense particularly frequently in this season. You know, it's frustrating. I mean, I was at the game, and I was telling anybody that would listen around me that I would run the ball 85% of the time and then occasionally throw a play-action deep pass, and that's about all I would do for the
game. And
even
then, the screen pass was a play-action screen pass. There was a lot going on. It wasn't just that he's dropped back for a screen. It was meant to sell the play-action, which Jedfish, his reasoning, he defended the play-action. He's like, we like to go play-action and throw it deep on like those post routes in those situations, so let's try the screen pass. It obviously didn't work, but, man.
Yeah. Well, and there was times, you know, I was there in person, so I have a little bit different perspective than you maybe get on the film. But like, there was a few plays where Jalen Johnson actually ran really good routes and looked open, but it also looked readily apparent that they had coached Will Plummer to do about two reads and then,
you know,
that's it. Which bluntly, I'm fine with that because I think that's the best, most likely chance to win right now and to get Will Plummer any level of confidence. But you know, it's. If you think through the game, there's a bunch of plays and people second guess like not going for it on fourth down from your own like 30 something when you're only up two, which yeah. I think that would be a stupid time to go for it. In rewatching it, I actually wish they would have gone for it on the first play of the second half when they were up two scores in a similar situation. When you're up two scores, that makes a lot more sense to me when you just you know, it was like a fourth and one again, like the 30 something. But well,
you know, though? You mentioned that this and you mentioned like the Will Plummer, he was coached to make one read, maybe two, and that was that. And I hate to say, because phrasing it the way I'm going to makes it sound worse, but it's almost like they're being coached not to lose. Not coached to win, but they're coached not to lose. Even those fourth down plays, like, yeah, when it's like you could say, oh, go for it. You know, you've lost 18 straight games. Why not? Well, you don't want to be the reason why you lost the game because you had a chance to win. So it sounds bad, but this is a team that doesn't have a lot of talent. It has no margin for error. We saw that. This is a game that they basically dominated. They had the two turnovers. One of them is the Hail Mary that was 10 yards short of the end zone, which well, they would have got closer if Brian Castile caught one of the two, you know, passes in the flat that were to him wide open, hit him in the hands, and he just dropped both of them. Which is, and those are the things, right? Arizona did just enough to lose this game. Washington's not good. I know they were more than two touchdown favorites. They weren't a good team. But they're still more talented than Arizona. And yet Arizona, for most of that game, was the better team. It was fluky. They were lining up, running it down their throats, and getting what they wanted. The defense was playing great. And yet Arizona made just mistakes, a holding penalty in like a goal-to-go situation. The 12 men on the field in the fourth quarter on that second, or watching his last try, which it was dumb. I don't think it mattered. Arizona could have got the ball back with 2 minutes left. They still weren't scoring a touchdown. We all know that. But just Arizona can't do those things and win. They just can't. They did those things against NAU and lost. They cannot do those things to get anybody and beat them because of their deficiencies at quarterback, because of their deficiencies on the offensive line, because of their lack of depth on defense. They just don't have the horses to make those mistakes. Jedfish has said it, and we all know that. And yet everyone's so upset over this game, and that's a good thing. You want to be upset. You don't want to be apathetic towards this. But nothing that's happened negatively other than the NAU game, and even then it's like, well, it all makes sense. They don't have the talent to have – they don't have the margin for error. But nothing that happened against the Washington Huskies last Friday should surprise anyone. Disappoint you, frustrate you, anger you? Sure. Those are all good things to feel after a loss like this, especially when it's a 19th straight loss.
Yeah, there's a bunch of other plays of the would have, could have, should have, those little mistakes. Like they could have had a forced fourth down on the 12 men on the field where the defense made a great play. And if they only had 11 guys on the field, they still would have made a great play.
Looked like,
you know, the defense overall played great. Jalen Harris running down on the third and short, running down, I think it was a running back, and making a nice open field tackle. Like those are the plays that are winning plays.
And Diallo was great.
Diallo was a monster. But yeah, it's all of those little mistakes. And I was just thinking, Adam, can you think of a better sequence that's a microcosm of Arizona football season this year, where they still have an opportunity to win the game in that last drive, and they drop two simple 5-yard outs to set up their quarterback to throw the most pathetic Hail Mary that gets intercepted 10 yards short because they don't have the arm talent to throw it far enough.
Right, but that's just it, right? Arizona's probably not winning the game even on the Hail Mary. Probably not. We've seen it happen before. But you don't expect that. And yet Arizona couldn't even put themselves in position to attempt a reasonable Hail Mary, not because of anything the coaches did. Like Washington was giving them those passes. Like, yeah, throw the Hail Mary, we don't care. And Arizona couldn't take advantage. And that's just – and Castile's a veteran. Like, that's inexcusable. That can't happen. Everyone did their job but the receiver in the play. There's no one else you can blame but him. But that's the thing. Arizona made those mistakes, and they've been making those mistakes. And the question is – are they making mistakes because of coaching? Are they making mistakes because of a lack of talent? Is it a combination of both? And some of them are just like, when it's a holding penalty, you could argue, yeah, that's just a lack of talent. They're not being coached to hold, but you get beat by better players, you're going to hold. Now, I will say, I think it was a young guy called for that hold that led to Washington's final touchdown that took the lead there and made it 21-16. I forget which defensive lineman it was. It might have been Diallo. Got held like crazy coming up the middle, and of course the refs don't throw that flag. It should have been offsetting penalties. It was obvious watching it happen, and then I know other people. I know Michael Lev, our good friend from the Arizona Daily Star, he does his rewatch. He's like, yep, that could have been offsetting penalties. Who knows what happens there? Maybe Washington scores a touchdown anyway, but it shouldn't have been first and goal from the 2-yard line where there was all but guaranteed a touchdown. And at that point, if it's only 17-16, you give Arizona a chance because, yeah, they could maybe get into field goal range. They're not going to get a touchdown. So those things happen, though. Arizona's not good enough. Is it because of talent? Is it because of coaching? To your point, Brett, earlier, you said you thought this was a great game plan and great coach game. I tend to agree. I think anytime Arizona's competitive this season against a good team, now, again, people can point to the NAU game, and I'll keep going back to that. There's no excuse. That was poor coaching, poor playing. Everything was bad. Every other game, you can make a case that the coaching had them in the game. And for a team that doesn't have talent, like you can't go into a season and say, this team has no talent, and then when they're in games against superior teams say, well, the coaching cost them the game because they were in that game. Like, no, the coaching is better. It's just not good enough to overcome the lack of talent. And the lack of talent makes the mistakes that are just crippling. They're crushing. Again, the hold. I think it was like first and goal from the 9. You get a holding penalty on first down. Now you're done. Arizona doesn't have the offense to make that happen. There's the offsides penalties. They had a couple of them on big plays. Like they do just enough to lose. And I think it's talent. I think it's roster construction. And I can't put that on the coaches. Not this season.
Yeah, I think in a weird way to kind of rephrase what I think you're trying to say, Adam, is that the coaching is good enough to make the losses more frustrating when they make mistakes and the talent doesn't show up.
Because
if it's worse coaching, they're not competitive in this game. Because like Washington, sure, you know, we had Max Ruman on. Washington is disappointed this year, but I remember once again, you know, my seats are right there, pretty sweet seats with a nice view. And the first, you know, time Washington's line goes up against our defense, it's like, man, we've gotten bigger as a team, but we are still smaller at every position. And that doesn't change overnight. You know, you have guys, especially on the defense, that are relatively young, like Jaden Young. If Jaden Young with another like 15, 20 pounds, oh, man, there was one play that killed me. There was a third down where he tried to make a big hit and he didn't wrap up.
And they got the first down and they led to their first touchdown.
If he makes that tackle, what happens? Like, there's all those little plays. You and I talked about after the game that the blocked punt, even, I think Reddy Short fell on it just to secure the ball. And it's like, you know, it was fourth down, man. You don't, if they get the ball, who cares? You're still getting the ball.
Chad Pitch said that too. He's like, his words, he's something like, he wishes it was a scoop and score instead of a scoop and fall. And it's like, you don't want to get mad at a player for their coach to do that. But every one of those little plays, and that's, there was games like the last game of last season, it didn't matter. There wasn't a single play that cost them. In most of the games last season, it didn't matter. Even the season before, there weren't a lot of close games. You say, oh, if it wasn't for those one or two plays, Arizona had a chance. That was the case against Washington. And Arizona made a lot of mistakes against Washington, still had a chance. And maybe that says more about Washington being bad than Arizona being improved. But, again, Arizona was also, what, 16, 17-point underdogs for a reason. Arizona does not have a good team right now. And yet, they had played hard. They played hard in that game. And the question is, do they believe they can win? And that's something Jed Fish said, too, where, and we had talked about it, after that interception, it was like, well, they're like, here we go again. And Jed Fish said that, too. They had that mentality where they just don't have the confidence that they can come back and do this. Or they can, because even when the interception happened, they're still up two scores. And the ball is in Washington territory. There's no reason why that had to be the end of the game right there. Get a stop, force a field goal, something, and you're fine. And just come back and chew up clock. Like, yes, points there would have been huge, but not getting points there wasn't the end of the game. It just wasn't. And yet the team had that, I think it was like four plays later, they're in the end zone, Washington. And it was a big play. Christian Wallen-Wallace had a rough game against Washington. He got beat a couple of times on those deep balls. But Arizona was right there against Washington. Despite their mistakes, but despite their talent differential, they were there and they should have won this game. Now, can you feel better about that? I don't know. It's hard to feel good about a loss, especially when you should have won. It's better than losing by 40.
Even that big play where I think it was Terrell Bynum who just beat up Arizona's secondary in that game. On the rewatch, I did kind of put, you know, facepalm when I hear the announcer be like, now, if you're Arizona here, you just want to avoid giving up the big play, cue 50-yard pass.
Yeah.
But even like Terrell Bynum's, I think he was the one that caught it in the first touchdown. Mm-hmm. It was incredibly well defended, and it's like, what are you supposed to do to that?
He just made a play.
You know, it's tough. I think, you know, I think as long as Jed Fish doesn't lose the team and they keep believing in themselves, you know, I was there. I got to see them coming out into the field, and the body language is for the most part pretty good. You could see Stanley Berryhill is clearly the emotional leader on this team. And pregame, he was trying to hype his team up, and like you can tell, he thinks they're going to win, and he's trying to will the team there. It's just I think to what you go back to where you said there, the game plan was playing not to lose. I think that's what Arizona has to do against to get a win. Before you can like learn how to win, you got to learn how to not lose. That's the difference between a team that loses and a team that doesn't, right?
Yeah.
And some of it's coaching, some of it's talent. I think the game plan was actually pretty good. I mean, gosh, if I had told you pregame, Adam, that we would be 218 rushing yards for Arizona versus 88 for Washington, you would have felt pretty darn happy about what that game was going to look like, right?
Yeah.
And the defense was disruptive. You know, there's for some reason they're just not able to quite get turnovers. You think at some point the odds would mean that more fumbles would happen on tackles, or an occasional tipped pass would become an interception. And those are just the things that aren't quite. They're just not happening. The blocked punt was a great thing.
Arizona
got
two sacks in consecutive plays in the first half.
Oh yeah, I was having a moment when that happened at the game.
But like, there are things to like, and I feel like this is going to be how we talk about this season when it's over. You'll be like, well, you know what? That wasn't great, but there were things to like where you could feel like there was some improvement. You just don't see it on the scoreboard. You don't see it in the standings. And that's what makes it tough, because we can say the same thing every week. And it's different. It's like every time they've had a game where you think, oh, well, they're done. You know, they lost to NAU when they came back and had a chance against Oregon. They got blasted by Colorado. It's like, oh, they came back and they should have beat Washington. Like, that's what they're doing. Every time they think they make you not want to care or not believe they have a chance, they make you think, wait, they could actually win this game. And that's what ultimately, that's what should be happening. The totality of the season may be a lot of that. And who knows, maybe they'll steal a game. But the totality should be, oh, they had a chance. Because that wasn't the case last year, and it wasn't the case for much of the year before that, at least once the losing streak started. If you want to feel bad after this game, I'm not going to stop you. It's a loss. And losses are never a good thing. But it's a loss that should have been a win. And that's it's a step forward.
It's progress.
That's progress. So Arizona, though, we'll see if that progress can continue. They got a game against USC coming up. Let's talk about it after the break.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Welcome back. So as we talked about before the break, Arizona has another game coming up. They're going to USC, I guess before this season, the last team they had a real chance to beat. Arizona did lose to USC last season, a really close game. Arizona had a chance at the very end, but they could not make a defensive play. Christian Roland Wallace mistimed his jump ever so slightly and missed out on a chance for a game-sealing interception. This is not, similar to Washington last week, this is not a great USC team. They have their interim coach, Dante Williams, good friend of Arizona, was there in Tucson for like 8 months, eight very unproductive and unimpactful months. But they've had quarterback issues with injuries and a little bit of controversy, and just they're more talented. Once again, there's way more talent on USC, but it does have a kind of a Washington feel to it, only this is on the road now.
Yeah, I think it's maybe this is the Christian Roland Wallace redemption game of the interception and maybe making up for a poor performance, maybe the worst of his career against Washington, going against Drake London at USC, who horrifies me.
Yeah, he's really
yeah.
good.
Through seven games, Adam, he has over 1,000 yards receiving himself.
I don't know if Arizona's going to have 1,000 yards as a team.
I looked it up. We have 1,469, and he has 1,007 or 1,003 himself. So that's that's concerning. you know, on the surface, it's another one where just the talent gap, even with a poor USC team, is, and especially on the road, is probably more than Arizona can realistically hope to overcome. But stranger things have happened.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think Slovis, if he is a world beater. I think he's a competitive quarterback, but he's a guy that can make some mistakes. You know, if the defense is able to control their passing attack and Drake London, I think that key in on him. And then I think they have a couple of running backs that are kind of their bruisers, or Ingram is, I think, their big bruiser guy. You know, I'm not going to call a win, but I'm curious to see if they can have it be competitive. You know, maybe in the Oregon game kind of perspective of like, hey, they're in this and they want to be a tough out.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing you kind of wonder. We talk about, does Arizona quit on the season, or do they keep fighting, keep playing hard? You can ask the same thing about USC. They're 3-4. They're coming off a couple of straight losses. Now, granted, the last one was to Notre Dame, who's pretty good. But between Keaton Slovis or Jackson Dart, there's people who think Dart should be their quarterback right now. This is not a team that's good. Talented, but they're not good. And maybe they're not as talented as USC teams in the past, right? A lot of USC teams in the past, they could make up for a lack of coaching because they were just so damn good. Maybe this team isn't that, but they're still, even USC on their worst years, going to be more talented than Arizona, except for maybe Arizona's best year, and this is not Arizona's best year. So the question is, can Arizona go on the road and do this? After the heartbreaking, like, do they take the confidence from Washington? Do they say, we should have won that game, we can win this game, let's go do it, or do they take it as, we should have won this game, damn it, if we can't even win a game we should have won, we're never going to win? And that's what's curious about this game. Now, there's a lot of players going home to L.A. There's a lot of California guys on this team, so maybe they have some of that motivation. But it's a really – every game from here on out is interesting for Arizona. And this one is interesting for that reason, because it's a game that they're, again, I think nearly 20-point underdogs against a team that may not be ready to beat anyone by 20 points. And what kind of fight does Arizona put up? That's the thing.
Yeah, I think, you know, like I mentioned in the first segment, being there at the game and kind of seeing body language, you know, as deflating as it got after the interception, which is discouraging, you know, but for most of that game, there was still a lot of energy. They seemed to be buying into the believe mentality that
I like
that
the shirt. It caused some controversy, great. I saw, but like some dumb controversy, but I really liked the shirt.
What a stupid non-controversy.
When you lose 19 straight, this is what happens. Every little thing becomes a thing. That's all.
Yeah. It's somebody really trying to say that we stole their believe concept that they stole from a very, very popular television show. what are we arguing about here, guys? You know, if they come out, if you're an Arizona player, you know, you look at this game and be like, are they going to give up and kind of roll over? Are they going to keep showing the fight and say, hey, what can I do to make those small little things? If I'm ready short, do I need to make sure I know if the ball goes here, I try to scoop and score this? If I'm Anthony Simpson, do I know that I need to chip a guy there on this play action or I'm leaving my quarterback out to dry? You know, because, you know, 100 little things like that, if the players as a whole take that approach, I think they'll put up a decent fight. And if they see success running the ball, Jalen John didn't have a lot of yards per carry, but he looked pretty shifty. Mm-hmm. Stevie Rocker looked like a monster in the making. And when you have Jamari Joyner being, you know, thrown out there in a kind of modified wildcat perspective, like they were moving the ball.
They were.
And if you can run the ball against USC, play the, you know, I want to see the Oregon game plan blended with the Washington game plan, and I think that they can at least put up a fight.
So USC does have more offensive talent than Washington does, probably more closely the line to Oregon. And Oregon was scoring. Arizona didn't have a great job, didn't do great stopping Oregon, especially early in that game, and that's what makes this so intriguing. Like this is, like you mentioned, Drake Lund, that guy's he's a monster. Arizona's probably not stopping him. After that, there's not a lot. There hasn't been a lot for USC, and of course their quarterbacks have thrown 8 interceptions between the two of them. So it's not like they haven't given the ball. Like, can Arizona get a couple of turnovers? Can they be in this game and stay in it the whole time? Because you got to think, too, and I think it worked that way for Washington. They were probably that 9 interception from having Arizona scoring again from the game being over. And the more teams that Arizona competes with, if they can keep it close with a team like USC, be within a score in the fourth quarter, maybe have the lead in the fourth quarter. Does USC get tight? It's their homecoming game. There's already pressure. Just everything that's happened this season. Do they get tight? Can Arizona do that? Can Arizona get the lead and step on the throw? Can they get the turnover? Can get the one big play? Arizona doesn't have big plays in them right now. Yeah, they had a couple of the runs. I think Steve Rocker had a long run, but they don't have the big passing plays for sure. And with a box that's surely to be loaded against them, can they make something happen? Do they try to maybe turn Will Plummer loose a little bit? Like, there are so many things, and that's where coaching comes back into the play. What can they scheme to make this successful? Can they get more than 19 points in a game? You know, all these things could happen. But it's a very limited roster and what they can do. Last week might have been a glimpse of the coaching staff's ability to game plan, but I don't think that game plan works against USC. Parts of it, obviously, like if you could run the ball, then yes, keep running the ball. That's a given. Can they run the ball against USC? Because if Arizona can't run the ball, if they're picking up 2.5 yards a carry and not doing anything on the ground, ooh, like this is not a team that's built to beat you through the air, at least not from what we've seen.
I mean, honestly, I think if you can get 3 yards a carry, you're competitive. If you're doing the play, if you're approaching it the right way, because you're putting yourself into manageable third downs, which, you know, Arizona's had some success when it's like 3rd and 4, 3rd and 3. It's when it's 3rd and 8 or longer that, you know, when you can't pass the ball, you're setting yourself up for failure. So in my mind, it's. If you're getting 3+ yards a carry, you're competitive. If you're getting 4+ yards a carry, you might actually be like really competitive.
Well, the nice thing is USC is giving up their middle of the pack in rush defense. They're giving up about 4.36 yards per carry in 6 conference games. So I mean they're not stout against the run necessarily. Like they're not great. Their defense has not been that good. But of course, it's Arizona's offense, which is there's not much positive to say about them other than last week they were doing a good job playing keep away and not messing up until they messed up. So the same slim margin for error, that really the margin for error doesn't exist, that still applies in this game. No matter how down USC might be, Arizona has to play a clean game, and I can't see it happening, and I could see this one going the other direction and kind of like that USC gets right game. I see that more likely than Arizona competing in the fourth quarter. So I really do, because just Arizona, I just don't see how they score points. Like, they're more likely to turn the ball over than score. Like, they're more likely to have three turnovers than they are to have 24 points in this game, I think.
They're more likely to throw a pass that results in points for the other team than for themselves.
Yeah, and they might go to more Jamari Joyner at quarterback. They probably will have more packages for him in there, and I'm curious to see him maybe throw the ball a little bit more, but it should always be the Wildcat formation type thing. Like, he's not, I don't think it's fair to just make him the quarterback. I don't think he necessarily wants to be the quarterback, but I like all his quotes about it that he had over there. He's like, yeah, I've never forgot how to play quarterback, just having to learn some of the offense. That's a good wrinkle. It's forced, but it's a good wrinkle to have. It's the best they can come up with. I just don't think Arizona has the horses to score enough points to keep up with an offense that, yeah, USC's not great, but there's talent on that offense, and Arizona, I don't think, can slow them down enough to allow Arizona's offense to keep up.
I mean, first, this is going to sound like a joke, but you need to keep Drake London under 120 yards receiving, which is probably not going to happen. And even that's a lot of yards receiving. I do like seeing Jamari Joyner back there a bit more. The one time I've ever liked a shotgun on a third and short or fourth and short situation is a Wildcat type formation. It works more effectively where you don't have the risks and the delay of a handoff, and the guy who's receiving the snap, usually Joyner in these situations, can like see where he's going pretty quickly, and it makes it easier to get a yard. I also think if I'm Jed Fish, no matter how much I'm up or down, if it's fourth and two or less and I am beyond my own 30, I'm going for it all game long.
You might have to, but game flow dictates all of that, of course.
Yeah.
And we'll just have to see what Arizona can do. It would have been nice for them to win the Washington game just to get this monkey off their back. It's a 4 o'clock kickoff at the Coliseum. It's going to be on ESPNU. So, yeah, people can watch it if they want. And it's one of those where I think we'll know early. If they're going to get blown out, it's going to happen early on. I think it's going to be one of those where it's like 17-0, 20-0 within the first 20-25 minutes of the game. If that's going to happen, it's going to happen. Right? Well, no. But if it can be ugly, if Arizona can run the ball and kind of play keep away and eat up clock like they did against Washington, then maybe USC gets a little tight, and maybe that turnover, that bounce goes Arizona's way, and they get the interception, and they get that extra point, or they get that pick six, or you know, something goes their way. But we'll know early. I think we'll know by halftime who's going to win. We'll know.
Well, I mean, we know who's going to win before the game starts. But I was going to say, to be fair, they got behind pretty big early against Oregon, and that game got competitive. But counterpoint, that was a Jordan McLeod offense, and I'm not convinced, even with the pared down play calling and focus on running the ball, and maybe Jamari Joyner and Stevie Rocker guys making some. You got to bust out a few. You have to have a few big plays, and you got to get points off those big plays. The Stevie Rocker 50-yard run needs to be a 70-yard touchdown run for them to have a chance. Because field goals ain't going to cut it. You know, we got to get past 19 points, or you're not going to win any games.
Unless you only give up 18, but that seems unlikely to happen this Saturday against USC. Well, Brett, let's take one more break, and we come back. We asked our Wildcat Radio AZ Twitter account people, we asked for a mailbag, asked your questions, and you gave us your answers. We asked for your questions, we'll give you our answers, something, whatever. We're going to take a break and come back with the mailbag.
Nailed it.
Right, we're back. One more segment to go. It's a mailbag segment. We asked you at Wildcat Radio AZ is a Twitter handle. We'll do that from time to time to see what Wildcat Nation is thinking. And Brett, what do we got this week?
Sure. The first question is from @_dude1121. Is it possible that both Ashworth and Zermaino are worse than Plummer? That would be the both of the walk-on quarterbacks. Zermaino was the walk-on that had some scholarship offers, not necessarily to Power 5. Luke Ashworth is a fairly well thought of for a walk-on type quarterback. I'll let you take a first crack at it before I go to the direct answer, Adam.
Yes, it is possible. And I say this because I would imagine, I think Will Plummer has some talent. I think what he's lacking is experience, and I'm not sure Arizona's – I don't know if he's going to get that experience at Arizona. But Zermaino has the same lack of experience. He's never taken a snap in a Pac-12 game, and neither has Ashworth. So it's kind of like when people would say, like, the best someone could beat the worst someone. Like, no. Like, there's a reason Will Plummer got a scholarship. There's a reason why he's the guy right now. And, yeah, he's not as good as Jordan McLeod. He's probably not as good as Gunnar Cruz. But is he better than Ashworth and Zermaino? Yes. He is a better quarterback for this team than those guys are at this exact moment.
Yeah, I was going to be like, this is a very simple question. You know, we talk about the talent differential, and will the difference between a scholarship quarterback and a walk-on quarterback, even a good walk-on quarterback, is the talent level.
Like, I feel like some walk-ons have succeeded, but they are very much the exception. Very much. I don't imagine Arizona's walk-on quarterbacks are at that level. And no offense to Ashworth, who's done a great job on, like, scout team and Zermaino. They're probably doing everything they're supposed to be doing, everything that's asked of them. That's terrific. But they're not on Will Plummer's level, no matter what Will Plummer's level is.
No, they're probably closer to a Rich Rod type of talent level than not, or a Rhett Rod, I mean. I think they're actually both pretty good guys as depth guys. But I don't think that, and I don't think the drop off would be as much as people would necessarily believe. And I think that's more a reflection of those guys being talented for walk ons. But there's definitely a clear reason why Will Plummer is playing and they are not.
And just think of it this way, too. That's at best your fourth and fifth quarterbacks on the roster, depending on where you would put Jamari Joyner. I don't think any program in the country has four or five good quarterbacks. So it's showing, not Arizona. So it's hopefully Will Plummer's the guy. Hopefully he stays healthy. There's still a lot. There's still half a season, a little less than half a season left in this to go. So hopefully he stays healthy, because otherwise you might see Luke Ashworth or Zermaino. And I'm not. Well, if they get an opportunity, I hope they play well. I'll put it that way.
There you go. Next question is from Armando Nava at Nava Law AZ. Is a 1-11 season a success if the one win is against ASU?
Generally, I don't think so. This year, absolutely. I mean, even if they just get one win this season, it's a success. It doesn't have to be against ASU, but if it is against ASU, especially if it's against ASU, yes. I don't think anyone would ask for more than that from this year and this team.
Yeah, I could not agree more, especially in the context of where we are at, sitting 0-7 with a lot of competitive losses, like we talked about. You know, NAU game, still the giant, you know, scab of a thing that should have broken the winning streak, and the San Diego State blowout that, in hindsight, San Diego State looks pretty good. You know, if that was the only win they got the rest of the year, I think that would go a long way. It would help probably secure, oh, I don't know, maybe some in-state recruiting battles with people that have upcoming sanctions, and get some, you know, positivity going into signing day. The early signing day, but I'm not necessarily calling for that to happen. I think more likely wins are before that. But, you know, also it's a rivalry game, and I'm a strong believer in the Territorial Cup. No matter how good or bad either team is, it's never more than a 65-35, 60-40 proposition, because that's just a weird game where weird things happen.
Well, last year was a 70-7 proposition. And that goes
yes,
into it, too.
Yes,
and,
yes. You made that joke last time, Adam.
Hey, you're going to keep saying that. I'm not someone who believes that the rivalry game is always that way. Usually, if there's a team that's so much better than the other, the team that's so much better wins comfortably. But because of what happened last season, because of what's going on with ASU, because of where Arizona's at, yeah, if Arizona can go up to Tempe and win that game, maybe knock ASU out of the Pac-12 South title or something, it would make everyone feeling pretty, pretty good. You know, you would feel good about Jed Fisher. I'm trying to think, the last coach to win their first Territorial Cup was Stoops, I think. I think he won in a bad season. He beat ASU. Rich Rod lost his, I guess Tim Kish won his first one. But Rich Rod lost his first one. Sumlin lost his first Territorial Cup. Both of them had Territorial Cups where their teams blew it. They should have won. So who knows what happened this year. But if Jed Fish and Arizona can find a way to play their best football game of the season and their last football game of the season and win, I don't think anyone's complaining.
Yeah, I agree. Last question, Adam, is a basketball question from Claire hyphen hashtag vaxxed masked emoji at KG7MAJ. Over under on the number of wins for men's hoops this season.
That's a good one. Let's see. I'd probably put them at, say, 22 and a half. Is that fair? Like to set the line at?
I was gonna follow your question with a question. How many games are to be played with any kind of like in season tournaments where there might be some variable if they win, they play four games instead of three, et cetera.
Well, I look at it and say an Arizona team that wins 22, 23, 24 games is going to the dance. And that's a successful season. I think this team is capable of winning that many games. I do believe in Tommy Lloyd's system. I believe in the roster that's been constructed in part due to Sean Miller, largely due to Sean Miller. I think it's a talented team. And by all accounts, this offense should fit a lot of this talent. So I think winning 22-plus games shouldn't be out of the question. Then again, you do have a first-year head coach with guys in their first year in this system, and the Pac-12 has some pretty good teams in it. So do I expect Arizona to win 26-27? No. But I think they have the talent to win 22-23-24, which is why I figured a line, if you put it at 22.5, where would you stand? Because it's like, you can't say over-under when there's no over-under, there's no line. But if we put the line at, say, 22.5, where are you at?
I like how you framed that back to me, because I think if you put the line there, I would take the over and I'd feel pretty good about it, because I actually think this team's going to be pretty good.
So maybe should the line be 23.5, 24.5?
That would have been, I think 23.5 is a more accurate one for what my expectations are. I think when the lines come out, I don't think they're out. I wouldn't be surprised if your 22.5 is where it starts at, because I think there's so many unknowns. And there's not necessarily the clear star player that's going to maybe move those lines a little bit.
I know. You see the highlights from their scrimmage? Everyone's a star player on Arizona.
I mean, Arizona definitely won the red-blue game. They also definitely lost. So I think it's the other complicating factor with the over-under is there is some decent teams in the Pac-12 this year. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You know, we talked about it in the past. I think, where were they picked to finish, fourth or fifth in the – was it fourth in the Pac?
Yeah, fourth in the Pac-12, yeah.
I mean, it's hard to argue with, like, UCLA, who brings everybody back that –
Oregon.
You know, had a – you know, there's some good teams there. So, you know, the real question is how they do in the non-con. I think that fourth place is fair in the Pac-12. It's also how much they beat up on the teams they're supposed to beat. There's some interesting games. I think they're playing on the road at Illinois, I think, in December, who is ranked number 11. But there's also plenty of, you know, if we lose to NAU in basketball this year, Adam, I'm quitting the podcast. I just can't talk about it anymore.
Like men's basketball is going to avenge football in that one. I hope they have that mentality too. Like they come out, they're on the court, do it for football or something like that.
So I think 23. If it's 22.5, I'm taking the over, because I think my most likely win total is 24, which is a really successful season. Especially depending on what the composition of those 24 wins is. Mm-hmm. I think that definitely puts you in the big dance. I think it puts you at a reasonable seed, potentially, you know, borderline top 25 type team. I think that line might move up if they look good early on. And I think there's a better chance that they will look surprisingly good than they will look surprisingly bad, if that makes sense.
I know, I would agree. If I had to pick either the under or over, like I take the over of the line I said, I think there's a better chance of Arizona surprisingly good than surprisingly bad, just because there is too much talent on this roster. Granted, if they lose one of their two point guards that they have on the roster, well, if they lose their one point guard and they're left with all the combo guards, like there's a lot of fluid, there's a lot we don't know. But just you look at the roster, it's a good roster. It's a talented, it's an upper half of the Pac-12 roster. An upper half of the Pac-12, a pretty good Pac-12 roster, should win north of 20 games. Now, how they get there, especially if they finish strong, everything we'll see. But it's, yeah, this is not like football where you go in and thinking they're going to be bad. This is basketball saying they should be pretty good. There's unknowns, but they're unknowns that should resolve themselves in a positive manner for this team. So, yeah. I would put them north of 22.5, but I like that line for myself.
I mean, if their top two point guards get hurt after the first few games and they turn to Will Plummer at point guard, I will lower my my prediction.
There you go. I think that's fair, and could probably end it there. Everyone, thank you for submitting your questions. At Wildcat Radio AZ is a Twitter handle. There's always content coming from the games and everything to you throughout the week from that account. So make sure you follow it if you're not already. At Wildcat Radio AZ. But otherwise, we appreciate you listening to this week's show. We assume you're listening on iTunes or Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Of course, if you just stumbled upon us, hit that subscribe button. We're pretty good. We like doing this. And hopefully, one of these days, we're going to talk about a football win. And if it's not soon, at least we're going to get some basketball wins to talk about, men's and women's. So that's going to be a thing. I promise you, men's and women's basketball will win games this season, even if football does not. So keep on our channel for that. And of course, if you're on iTunes, rate us, review us, and we'll read that review on the air. Whatever the next show is, we'll read that review, whatever it is. Like, good, bad, otherwise, we'll say your name with it. You don't get to be anonymous, but we'll read what you had to say about us. So
I think technically they can put in, you know, a handle name that is kind of anonymous.
Don't say that. Like, yes, you could basically be anonymous. And unless it's a name that we just can't read on our show, we will read the name plus the review. Okay.
There you go.
So that's that. Enjoying everyone. Arizona, USC, 4 o'clock on Saturday from the Coliseum, ESPNU. Watch it if you want, because it is still a football game. Whatever happens in that game, and of course, basketball season is nigh, we're going to talk about all next week. And until then, remember to bear down.
Bear down.